Bibles, let's go to 2 John. We're going to be looking at the little book of 2 John this morning and tonight. This morning we're going to cover verses 1 through 6. Tonight we'll cover 7 through 11. John is writing to a lady in the church and commending her because her children are walking in truth. But he's also writing her to warn her and instruct her how to deal with false teachers. And we would do heed tonight to understand what this text says, especially tonight. But this morning, mainly, he is commending her for her children who are walking in the truth. I asked John a while ago if he heard from Amy, and they were coming, but Morgan got sick. And Jason may be having to work, so maybe they'll be able to be here tonight. Because I know she wants to thank all of you for praying for her and calling her and texting her and those kind of things. 2 John chapter 1, verse 6. Let's stand in honor of the reading of God's word, if you will. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Aren't you blessed today to have known the truth? Amen. He says, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. And this is the commandment that if you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Father, I pray this morning, you open our eyes to your truth. I know you opened our eyes to salvation one day when you, the light of the glorious gospel shone in our heart and showed us that Jesus Christ was your Son who died on the cross for our sins. So there's a light that has to be shown at salvation, but there's also a light or illumination that has to be shown even now, even though we have the Spirit within us to understand the Holy Scriptures. So teach us today from your word. Thank you again for the Holy Spirit and his work in the believer's life. Not only that, I left out this morning his work in creation. On the first, the very beginning, the Holy Spirit hovered over this earth that was formed with water, and we want to thank you for his work, not only in salvation but also in creation. And so we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. John tells us that followers of Jesus must walk in his commands as we love the truth of his teaching. So today I want to share with you, what does that mean to walk in truth? Someone said, and I like this, truth and love are the twin rails on which Christianity runs. They bring authenticity and balance to our Christian confession and conduct. And I like that. So today we're going to look at the first two of four thoughts that I believe describe what it means to walk in truth. Number one, we must love the truth. In verses 1 through 3, note verse 1, the word elder. That carries that. Now, there is an office of elder, pastor, bishop in the church, but I believe John here is speaking about his age. It carries the idea of an aged man who has earned authority and respect by his character and experience and his moral standing. God forbid we should ever lose that. So the elder also speaks of the position of a man as pastor of a church, elder, pastor, bishop, and office. But John says, lady, let me tell you something here. I am an elder, an aged man. I've been around the block. I know what I'm about to tell you, and I'm warning you about these false teachers. Okay? Now, note the word elect lady. He says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children. Now, there's a little disagreement about this, about who this elect lady is. Some believe it metaphorically refers to a local church, like the elect lady being the church. We are the bride of Christ. Some believe it refers to an individual and her children. Well, I like what John MacArthur states about that. In our preaching, we were always taught once in a while to quote somebody that's smarter than you to kind of give you weight and authority to the matter. And John MacArthur says, the more natural understanding in the context, however, is that it refers to a particular woman and her children who are well known to John. Now, if this is a church, the whole church as a whole, elect lady, this is the only reference to in a letter of John, of a writer referring to the church as the elect lady. But it's also, if he's talking about a church here with her children, that would be the offspring, and that we are never referred to as the offspring of the church. We're referred to the offspring of God. So this isn't the first time in the New Testament that the writer warns women about false teachers. You see that in 1 and 2 Timothy, warning ladies not to be deceived and gullible with false teachers. Notice verse 7. And this is what he's warning her about. Many deceivers are entered into the world. Now, what does it mean to love the truth? Well, number one, in verses 1 and 2, we see we must embrace the truth. Now notice verse 1 and 2 again. They love the truth and know the truth, and the truth dwells within them. How long, church? Forever. I always liked that little movie, Sandlot. Thank you, brother. And that one guy that looked like a real nerd, he said, forever, you know, and I always liked that. There's an attaboy coming your way, man. John truly loves them. Love is a present tense verb. It denotes continuing action. You say, we meet here on Sunday, we say, I love you, but is that a continuous action? Do they see that we love them past, present, and future, right? It's a continuous action verb. It don't really mean nothing just to say to somebody, I love you, but your actions show your love, right? So John truly loves them, a love that is grounded in truth and shared by all who know the truth. Now notice verse 2. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Truth in the biblical sense is essential. It's not optional. If we're going to call ourselves Christians, it's something we need to do, love the brethren. It's not optional. It's not a suggestion. It's eternal, not relative. I mean, it's going to be forever. It's just not going to be relative based on how they treat us, right? Based on our circumstances. The world has that kind of love, right? It's consistent and it's not changing. Oh, yes, we may not like how people act sometimes. I'm sure y'all may not act like the way I act all the time, but you probably misunderstand me. But okay, that's all right. Say an amen right there, okay. But we must embrace truth and have a consuming passion for the truth bathed in love. So if you're going to say, I'm going to love the truth, then you got to embrace the truth. Secondly, in verse 3, we must enjoy the truth. I'm firmly convinced there's many people sitting in our churches all over America today that don't really enjoy the truth they claim to believe. Notice verse 3. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Truth has, as someone said, truth has three companions in our text, and it shows God's progression in his relation to us in salvation. They are grace, mercy, and peace. Caleb, that's where I thought you were going to take my sermon away from me this morning. Grace, mercy, and peace, they are your friends, right? Grace is God doing for us what we don't deserve. God's unmerited favor. Mercy is God not doing to us what we do deserve. I don't know about you, but I really get turned off when I hear people say, I deserve better than this. You don't want to get what you deserve, right? I'm telling you what. Peace is a personal wholeness and well-being in all aspects of life. It's something we have because grace and mercy have been shown to us. We have peace with God, and we have the peace of God in our communion with him. So these three Christian virtues have a source. Verse 3 tells us they come, and 1 John 1:3 tells us they come from God the Father. Now I want you to notice something here in verse 3, latter part of verse 3. And from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. God is identified twice as Father in this text. Jesus Christ is God, but he is also God the Father's Son. Okay? So we must love the truth. And he's commending this lady for her and her children in the church, which I believe is Ephesus, for walking in truth. Why? Because they loved the truth. But then secondly, we must live the truth in verses 4 through 6. Now note that in 2 John. I rejoice greatly that I have found thy children walking in truth. Now I remember when Brother, my mind just goes blank. Oh, our first pastor. But I remember when Brother Gene Vincent came back from the first homecoming. Do y'all realize he preached on 2 John? That the children are walking in truth? And I remember it. There's some sermons I do remember. And I do remember that one. I apologize for not remembering his name. I didn't know who I was till I got to church. But look in verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I have found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, and I believe he's talking about a particular lady with children, not as though I wrote a new, you know, the church might have been meeting in her home, you know, you never know. It says, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have heard from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that is, we have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. Well, we must not only love the truth, but if we're going to walk in truth, we got to live the truth. Live the truth. Vance Havner, one of my favorite preachers and quotes, said this. Now, y'all listen closely. What we live is what we really believe. What we live is what we really believe. And then he says, everything else is so much religious talk. A lot of religious talk going on, right? But we need to live what we really believe. And John agreed with that here. He was convinced that unless truth reaches and affects the heart, the inner man is of no value. I don't care how smart you are in Bible knowledge. If it doesn't affect your life, it's nowhere, right? Regardless of what we might do in the head, believe with the head, truth should grab hold of the head, the heart, and the hands. And if we're going to say we embracing the truth, we love the truth, we're living the truth, then it's got to be shown in our life that we're living out the truth in our life. It goes in our head, our heart, and comes out our hands, right? In godly service. Now, how are we going to live the truth? Well, number one, verse 4, we should be concerned about what we believe. And I'm concerned about what I believe. I'm concerned about what you believe. I'm concerned about what other people believe. I know pastors of the day say, well, you know, all I'm responsible for is my own self, and that's true. But if you're a shepherd over the flock, you're responsible for everybody. Notice verse 4. We need to be concerned about what we believe. I rejoice greatly that I have found thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. We should rejoice when we see others walking in the truth. Amen? Walking here refers to a continual walking as a habit or a pattern of life. When we talk about the believer's walk, it always refers to our conduct and our journey in the Christian life. It's not talking about literally walking physically. It's talking about your walk with the Lord. It's talking about your journey, okay? And one thing that blesses my heart above everything else is with you is your consistency in your commitment. And I talk to other pastors, man, I tell you what, we are blessed. We have some of the most consistent and committed people right here at Trinity. Amen? In the Lord. Y'all stay with me now. Don't lose me. Don't let me forget where I'm at. And he says, commandment from the Father, we will submit. Now, this is something we need to note here. We will submit to something in our life. And we will either submit to one or more of what I'm about to share with you. Our commitment is to God. But when we talk about people submitting to authority rather than to the commandments of the Lord, some people commit to reason, what we think, you know, and they put reason ahead of Scripture, right? But many times, because of our fallen nature, what you think and what Scripture says are going to be different, right? Some people, well, that just don't make no sense to me, or I don't see that. And then secondly, some people submit to tradition. You've heard this. We've always done it like this before, right? Tradition, custom. What we've always been, this is the way it's always been done. Experience. Some people will submit to experience. What we feel. Man, your feelings will deceive you greatly. Amen? Because what you feel many times is contrary to what truth is. And this is hard. I mean, it's hard. It's hard for us to understand that people go to hell, right? In our feelings, we say, well, I just don't feel like God would do that. You know? But truth says if they don't repent and don't believe, they're going to go to hell, right? So it's not what we feel, because our feelings and our heart, man's heart is deceitfully wicked, and who can know it? So some people submit to experience. And then what God wants us to do is submit to his revelation. In other words, what God says. It's always what God says in his word, rightly interpreted. It's not what you feel. It's not what you think. It's not how you've been doing it before. It's always what does the scripture say? Let the Holy Scripture speak, and then we submit. And that's what he's talking about here. So we should be concerned about what we believe if we're going to live the truth. But number two, we should be concerned about how we behave. Verses 5 and 6. And he said, now I beseech thee, Letty, as though I have wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have from the beginning. What beginning? It's the beginning of your salvation. That we love one another. And this is love, that we should walk after his commandments. And this is the commandment that you have heard from the beginning. You should walk in it. I read an article this morning on Fox News, one that I strongly disagreed with. It was by Andy Stanley on five reasons people leave the church. And I disagree with all five of them. Because you got to understand where he's coming from. You got to entertain him to keep him in. I'm coming from the view that I got to expound the scriptures, right? So the reason why they're leaving the church is he gave five reasons that I strongly disagree with. Now, we should be concerned about how we behave. Listen to this. I want y'all to listen to this closely. Wrong thinking leads to wrong living, right? It's all in the mind. Right thinking has as its fruit right living. If you want to live right, you got to believe right. We are to love one another and walk in truth. And this has always been a commandment from the Lord for us from the beginning of our Christian experience. We could state verses 4 through 6 this way. Now this is good. Y'all listen closely. Walk in the command to love and love the commands you walk. Truth is something we believe and something we live. Don't tell me what you believe if you're not living it, right? Are y'all with me? The proof is in the pudding, right? The proof is not what you know, but how it comes out of your life. So we must love the truth. We must live the truth. Now tonight we're going to look at the last two, and this is when he really deals with her about the false teachers. We must look for the truth, and we must long for the truth, okay? I like these little books, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and we'll do 3 John next Sunday morning before I get into the gender confusion in our world today. And I invite you, if you got somebody, that your friends or family that believes there's other genders rather than male and female, invite them to church next Sunday, and we'll enlighten them through the Word of God. Amen? Okay? Father, I pray.